Well, this is an exciting moment for me as the minister of the free, because we are starting a new series called Rooted, Growing and Sowing. And this series is the product of a lot of prayer, a lot of discussions with the rest of the leadership team, a lot of time where we've really sought God and asked Him about what our priorities should be as a church as we come out of the COVID-19 pandemic. So what we're going to be looking at over these coming weeks is really the fruit of these discussions and our thinking. So I'm really pleased that you're here to join us at the start of this series. Please try and make it one of your key things over the next few weeks to plug in to the rest of this series. Well, you know, for any individual, for any organisation, or for any church, in our case, vision is really important. It is so important. You know, the Bible says that without vision, people perish. That's how important it is. And vision, putting it simply, is the ability to see the end at the beginning. To be able to see what is to come, or to be able to paint a picture of what is to come and what the future might be like. I guess it's useful to think about vision as being a destination or being a goal that you're trying to reach, that you're trying to get to. A place, if you like, on the horizon that you're always working towards. And many of you will know that our vision here at The Free is this. Is that we see a growing crowd excited by God, becoming disciples and bringing blessing. This is the church that we believe God wants us to strive to be like today, and the church that He wants us to increasingly become like. That's the picture, that's the destination that we see on the horizon. But it's important, as I start this series, to state that this is still our church's vision. This isn't changing. Our destination isn't changing. Our focus isn't changing. This is still the church that we long to become. However, like any journey, it's good at different times to stop and assess the route. I remember years ago doing practices for the Duke of Edinburgh award scheme and going out on long hikes, and with my friends and with the teachers who were with us, occasionally we'd stop, we'd put our backpacks down and we'd look at the map and we'd get our compasses out and we'd say, are we still heading in the right direction? And I guess COVID-19, the pandemic of the last 18 months, has been a moment to stop and assess. Just as on a hike you might look at the geography and say, is it changing? Is the weather changing? Are there obstacles coming in the way? The pandemic has made us stop. It's been a huge obstacle. And it's made us look as a leadership team and say, has the lay of the land changed? I find this picture quite useful, this foggy scene. And you can imagine being on a hike or being on a walk and getting to the top of a hill and seeing this in the future, or seeing this to come, and thinking, do you know what? What's it going to be like? What's the lay of the land going to be like? And I guess in some ways we found ourselves in a place like this over the last few months. Everything has changed. And so as leaders, we've stopped. We've started to wait for some of the fog to clear. We've assessed our journey as a church. And in this new emerging landscape, we've said, what's the best way to travel towards our vision, towards our destination? And we've prayed lots, and we've listened to each other, we've sought God, we've listened to you as a church, and through the survey at the end of last year, that was so helpful, just to hear what you thought God might be saying. And we've collected all these things together, and we believe that God has spoken. And so I want to share with you the plan for the next 3 years for our church. Our direction of travel towards our vision destination. And it's my belief that in doing this over these coming weeks, it's going to help you to pray for us as a leadership team and to pray for the church. It's going to help you know why we're making some of the decisions in the future that we are going to be making, why we are going to be spending money in certain ways, why our focus is going to be in certain places, why we might ask you if you could serve in certain ways. It will bring clarity for each one of us as a church member. And it will help us to see, I pray, God's kingdom growing as we all move ahead towards our vision, as we all move ahead in the same direction. I'm going to pray for us before we dig in. Let's pray. And Father God, I thank you for Frinton Free Church. I thank you that for many, many decades you've called women, you've called men to be a part of your church family here. And as we begin to look at what the next few years might look like for us as a church, we ask that Holy Spirit, you would come, you would fill us afresh, you would stir us and nudge us and speak to us. And Spirit, I pray that we would hear you as you speak to us. Bring clarity, I pray, over these coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. So as a leadership team, as we began to collate and to think about what God was saying to us, I found myself on one of my retreat days. And I found myself praying to God and saying, God, would you give us a picture? Would you give me a picture for our church, for our priorities for this coming year? There were so many thoughts and so many ideas that were filling my head. I said, God, I need the clarity, if you like, of a picture to capture all these things. And here on the stage next to me is the picture that God gave me. It's of this field of dandelions, and you can see below the ground, you can see above the ground as some of them are growing and some of them are being sown as well. And I, as God gave me this picture and I began to sort of sketch it down, and I'm not very artistic, on a bit of paper, I asked a friend of mine called Chris Duffett, who's a Baptist church leader, I asked him if he would paint it for me, and this is what he did, and it's really brought that picture to life. It's a fantastic piece of art that's going to be important for our church in these coming years. And as this painting came to life, three things struck me about it in particular. First of all, it was the roots. And in the picture that God gave me, the roots were really key. And we can see them there painted in gold below the ground. And if you've ever had dandelions in your lawn or at home in your flower beds and you've tried to dig them up, you will know that dandelions have incredibly deep roots. They're well rooted wherever they are. The other thing that was important about the picture that God gave me was the healthy growth. And dandelions seem happy to grow anywhere, don't they? They're happy in the crack in the pavement. They're happy in the middle of your lawn or a flower bed. You find them anywhere. And they can grow enormous. They can look so lush and green and healthy. And it was that healthy growth that was important in the picture that God gave me. And finally, it was the idea that some of the dandelions in the field were being sown. And this is what all dandelions do, don't they? Every dandelion is destined to be sown. They flower, and it's that beautiful yellow that they flower in. But then they change, and they're sown so that they can plant themselves, so another plant can grow elsewhere, sometimes some distance from where they started. And so these are the three key priorities for our church, for the free, in the next 3 years. Three guiding principles, if you like, that are going to help us as we travel towards the vision God has given us as a church. The first one is that we are to be rooted in good soil. That as a church, we value cultivating disciples. You know, in Mark 4, Jesus tells a parable about growing seed, and he compares the seed that is growing to his kingdom. And I found myself on my retreat day stuck in this parable, and I kept reading it and reading it and reading it. And one of the phrases that jumped out at me in that parable in Mark chapter 4 is that the soil produces the grain. Strange thing to say in a parable about growing seed, that the soil produces the grain. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it. And I felt God say to me that soil is important. What we root ourselves in is important if we're to grow as disciples. And so as a church, over these coming years, we're really going to focus on our gathered worship, because that's part of the soil that we want to be rooted in. A second part of the soil that we want to root ourselves in is prayer. And we want to grow our prayer life as a church. And the third thing that we want to be rooted in is the scriptures, is God's word. And those three things together, our worship, our prayer and scripture, are the good soil that we want to focus rooting ourselves in. So we're rooted in good soil. The second thing is that we want to focus on healthy growth, because we value renewing well-being. God is asking us to focus on being a hub of hope for our community. The pandemic, and our survey has shown this, the pandemic has knocked people back emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And there's just a sense that God is asking us to be a hub of hope where we can help people to recover their emotional and spiritual and mental well-being. We believe and we value healthy growth. And the third thing is that we are to be sown by the Spirit. That we value being the church wherever we are. Some of the language that has really taken root in our church in recent years is that we all have a front line, those places where we live, where we work, where we play. And we want to focus on and encourage every member of our church to find the possibilities and the potential in their front lines. That God wants us to look at those places. And he wants to resource us to make a huge difference as he sows us across the area. But not just our front lines. We believe that God is calling us to look further afield, across Tendring as well. To look for missional opportunities outside of Frinton and across this area where there is some serious need. Is there some work he wants us to plant in those places? Is there some work he wants us to get behind and support because it's got his kingdom fingerprints all over it? So these are three key things that God wants us to focus on. He wants us to be rooted in good soil, to support healthy growth, and to know what it means to be sown by the Spirit. Rooted, growing and sowing. Three priorities, three guiding principles to help us towards our vision. And what I want us to look at this morning is that we are rooted in worship.
Here at The Free, we value cultivating disciples, and this means that each one of us must be rooted in good soil. Part of that soil is made up of our gathered times of worshipping. You know, we can worship God with our whole lives, wherever we are, but there's something special, there's something beautiful when the church gathers together to worship. We want to raise our expectations of what happens when we gather together. As the church gathers, we give God glory, we seek his presence, we call down his kingdom on earth, and we see him moving among us. Won't it be incredible to raise our expectations and to see God doing some incredible things as we continue to worship together as his church?
So what does it mean for us to be rooted in worship? You know, worship is so much more than singing. We've already sung as part of our Sunday online together that song about the heart of worship. And one of the lines in that song says, "I'll bring you more than a song." Worship is more than singing. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says just that, doesn't it? That we are to worship God with our whole lives in response to the wonder and the mercy of God. We give him all that we are. We give him all that we do in response to his love and mercy towards us. We don't do this to earn God's love, but we do it because of his love. So worship isn't just singing. But there's something really special, isn't there? Something really important about coming together as God's people to worship him. Worship is about our whole lives, but it's also about specific acts of devotion as well. And you know, repeatedly in the Bible, we're told that God's people come together to worship him. This is a repeated thread right throughout Scripture. Let me show you. In the book of 2 Chronicles 7, we see that King Solomon is dedicating the temple where they are going to worship as God's people. And in the description of what happens in that dedication time, it says there, they worshipped. The people of Israel came together and worshipped him together, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." In Matthew chapter 2, we read about Jesus being born and the Magi, the wise men, travel. And when they find Jesus, when they saw the child, it says, and his mother Mary, they bowed down and they worshipped him together. At the end of Jesus' life, he's crucified, and we know that he comes back to life. He's risen from the dead. And in Matthew 28, it says that when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped him. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and in chapters 4 and 5, there's this incredible picture being painted of worship in heaven. And in chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, we see this picture of the whole of creation worshipping Jesus together. Repeatedly in the Bible, we're told that God's people come together to worship him. You know, being rooted in worship means that together we give God glory. It's important for us at The Free to gather together regularly as God's people to worship him. If we're going to have deep roots, if we're going to have roots like these dandelions, communal worship, gathering to worship, needs to be our priority. You know, it's interesting at the moment watching the Euros, watching the football tournament, and there's something that happens in me, and I suspect for many of you if you're a football fan, but whenever an England game comes up, it almost seems to dominate those few days for me. It's kind of on my mind, and I'm really hopeful that they're going to do well. And then on the day itself, it's kind of everything builds towards that football match, and I sit there in my England shirt on the edge of my sofa, and normally normally end up quite disappointed, but let's hope it's different this year. But that focus, how something can dominate in that way, is really interesting. It made me think about church. It made me think about gathering for worship, especially having not really been able to do that for 18 months or so. Is gathering to worship still a priority for me? Does it dominate a week for me? Is it the pinnacle, like England playing football, is it the pinnacle of the week for me? Is it the most important moment? I want it to be. I love gathering as a church to worship. You know, gathering as a church can't be an optional extra for us during the week. It can't be something that we do if we have time. It's something, needs to be something that everything else fits around. And we say, that's important. It's important for our kids. It's important for the youngest ones to understand that. It's important for our teenagers to understand that. For our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90-year-olds, and plus, that we all see gathering to worship as a priority. And that means we've got to have variety and creativity in our worship. You know, the Bible is full of creativity in worship and variety. The Bible talks about people singing. It talks about people being silent when they worship. It talks about them being clapping their hands and dancing. The Bible says that people lift their eyes in worship, that we lift our heads in worship, that people lift their hands as they worship. At some points in the Bible, people are standing to worship. At some points, they are kneeling. At some points, they are falling face down in worship. At some points, they are wearing sackcloth and ashes to worship God. You can choose if that's for you. There isn't one way that people worship. The only stipulation, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, is that we're always giving thanks when we worship. When we gather to worship, wouldn't it be great to have all those different ways expressed? When we gather, we give God glory together. But this isn't one-way traffic. As we worship God, the Bible tells us that He responds to us. That as God's people gather to worship, He makes His presence known. I love what it says in Zephaniah chapter 3. It says this: the Lord, your God, is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you. But look what it says: but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that beautiful? That as we give glory to God, as we sing songs to Him, He's singing songs over us as well. Being rooted in worship means that together we seek God's presence because He responds to our worship. There is something about gathered worship that ushers in God's presence. You know, the Bible tells us that God is with us all the time. It tells us that there's nowhere we can go where He isn't. But let's be clear, there are times in life, there are moments where God's presence is extra known, where His presence is very, very obvious. I think that we see that when we gather to worship. And being rooted in worship means that we seek that. We seek those moments with God. Worship is a two-way street. In 2 Chronicles, as we mentioned earlier, when Solomon dedicates the temple, there is a huge gathered worship event. It's incredible. Read about it in 2 Chronicles 4, 5, 6 and 7. It's an incredible event. Tons of cattle and tons of sheep are sacrificed in this incredibly ornate and expensive building that's been built to the glory of God. And as the people of Israel gather to worship, a pattern emerges. You see this, the people worship God and they give him glory, and then God's presence falls on them. And so the people begin to worship God even more. And so God's presence falls again. And so the people worship God again. And then God's presence falls again. Can you see the pattern? It's a two-way street. It's incredible. It's quite exciting at what happens. Let me read to you what happens. All the Levites who were musicians stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to God, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And then if you read on into the next chapters, they start to worship again, and then fire falls on the sacrifices and burns up all these expensive sacrifices that they're giving to God as part of their worship. There is something about God's people gathering to worship that ushers in the presence of God in a really special way. When we gather to worship, we must expect God's presence. A few weeks ago, as we were opening the church to start having services again for a limited number of people, at the end of the service I was meeting some people from the town. Just a couple came to see me at the church. They don't normally come to the church. And the church had emptied and we'd worshipped and people were leaving and going down the steps. And this couple came in. And as the lady came in to our church, she walked in and she said, "Oh, what's been happening here?" She could sense something. She could feel something in our building that was different. And I said, "Well, you know, we've just been worshipping God in here and we believe that he's been present with us in a really special way." And as a non-believer, she said, "I can feel that." Now, I've got a question for you. What do you expect when you come to church to worship? What should we expect when we come to church to worship? Do we expect the presence of God? Now we see this presence of God happening in the New Testament as well when God's people are worshipping together. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in prison. I'm sure you know this passage well. But it says this, that about midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. This is in the prison where they are. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I love this story. It's one of my favourites. You know, Paul and Silas have been arrested. The Bible tells us they've been stripped and they've been flogged. And at midnight, when, if that was me, I would be on the phone to Amnesty International, I'd be phoning my MP, I'd be making a fuss about the treatment that I've received. But at midnight, instead of doing that, Paul and Silas are worshipping God. And what happens? The power of God falls and a miracle occurs in that moment. You know, being rooted in worship means that together we expect God's kingdom to show. That as we gather to worship as God's people, as his presence is with us, we should expect the things of God's kingdom to be present as well. That means we should come expecting miracles to happen amongst us. We should expect people to be healed when we pray for them. We should expect to see spiritual gifts being practiced. We have a supernatural God, and if He's present with us, we should expect to see the supernatural things of His kingdom as well. I remember when I was at Bible College in London, our principal at the time saying to us repeatedly as trainee ministers, he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "Churches are too predictable." He said, "I bet that all of you could say exactly what's going to happen in your churches this coming Sunday before it happens." He said, "People will come in, they'll sit down, you'll stand up, you'll sing a song, you'll sit down, you'll pray, the Bible will be read, someone will preach, there'll be more singing, maybe you'll take communion, and then you'll leave." He says, "It's the same things all the time." He says, "We've got a supernatural God," and he said, "In the Bible, God is unpredictable." He says, "Shouldn't our services be more unpredictable as the things of God's kingdom are shown and expressed?" I like the idea that our supernatural God can show up when we meet together as a church, and that the good things of His kingdom could be evidenced among us. Isn't that what our community needs more than ever at the moment? An encounter with the living God. Isn't that what you need at the moment? Isn't that what I need at the moment? An encounter with a supernatural living God who's a good Father. I long to see more of His healing, more of His miracles, more of His touch amongst us when we meet together. Let's raise our expectations as a church over these coming years as to what we expect when we gather together. Now, if this is the picture of worship that we want to see amongst us as a church, there are going to be some outworkings of this. And over these coming weeks and months and years, here are some headlines for you as to what this might look like as we gather together. The first one is this, and this is the one that's going to be the most obvious, that there's going to be a new pattern for Sunday services here at The Free. Services on a Sunday will be at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the evening in Oasis, and then at 6 o'clock in the evening in the main church. You know, the survey that we put out amongst our church, and over 600 of you responded to that, showed that the current or the previous service times weren't always great for people. They weren't held at the best time. For example, families with children said that in the morning isn't always best on a Sunday, especially with sport and other activities taking place. And a huge number of families said, "Do you know what, an early evening might be better for us." And so we're going to have children's work happening at our 10 o'clock service, but also we're going to make our 6 o'clock service really accessible for people as well, with families. A time where teaching and learning can take place for all ages. And our what used to be at 5:30 in Oasis, we're looking at running that at 5 o'clock as soon as we're able to. We're unable to do it just at the moment, but in the autumn we hope the cafe church will come back in Oasis. It also became clear that maintaining two morning services has become a burden to those who volunteer. Teams have gradually got smaller over recent years, and for those who were trying to serve, especially our musicians and our tech team and hosts, it was becoming quite burdensome. So a new pattern of times gives us the opportunity to just release that burden for the time being and make actually our services and Sundays more enjoyable for all of us. We're going to review that pattern in 6 months' time, and then 6 months after that in a year as well. And we'll just see how it's going for all of us and see if those times suit us. Second thing is that there's going to be a commitment to online services. Now, that may sound a strange thing, because I've just been preaching about gathered worship and how important it is. And listen, I think that gathering together in person is by far the very best way to do church. But I'm also aware that online services are a fantastic way to reach people who maybe aren't quite ready to come to church yet. Or maybe they're working on a Sunday and need to catch up with the service during the week. And so Sunday Online is going to be a permanent fixture, and we are going to seek to produce a really good quality online service each week to still serve those people for whom that suits best. And then the third thing we're going to be looking at is exploring church for 20s and 30 year olds. You know, between 1985 and 2005, nationally the church lost 50% of those in their 20s and 30s who were attending. And not just our church, but all churches can see that that age group is perhaps a missing number within our churches. So we're going to commit to study and to look at this area. And especially we're going to work with a good friend of mine, Phil Knox, who works for the Evangelical Alliance, who's the head of mission to young adults. And we're going to look at ways that we as a church can look to re-engage people in their 20s and 30s so that they can gather as church and worship with us. It's an exciting time for our church, especially as we seek to look at what it means to be rooted in worship. I really appreciate your prayers for those three things. Back in February 2019, the General Secretary of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, Lynn Green, came and visited our church. And Lynn had a picture for us that she shared. And it's one that we've often come back to as a church, but I think it resonates right now. Lynn said that God gave her a picture of our church being lifted up, and that as we gathered to worship as a church community, she said, it's beautiful. She said, I see you as a piece of amethyst cathedral. And that when you worship and when you give glory to God, she said, it is beautiful. Frinton Free Church, when we gather to worship, when we're rooted in worship, it's a beautiful thing. It's a special thing that each one of us should treasure highly. When we worship, we give God glory. When we're rooted in worship, we seek His presence. When we're rooted in worship, we expect His kingdom to show up. As we move together, as we move forward towards our vision as a church, let's commit to being rooted in worship. Let's commit to having these deep golden roots that go down deep. Let's together raise our expectations for what we expect when we gather together. Let's get excited. Let's get expectant about gathering together to worship.